Also, today is a special day. It is 9/11 today, and so I want to honor and just take a moment to, if you've served in our military or are serving in our military armed forces, would you stand? Anyone here? Awesome. Jesse, yeah. Come on, can we give them a hand? Also, stay standing. This is awesome. If you serve in our in the police force, fire, ambulance, dispatch, all that kind of stuff, anyone, I know we have a couple. I don't know if they're here this morning, but we want to honor you as well. Can we give everyone one more hand? Thank you for serving our country. Thank you guys so much. We want to honor you. Someone told me recently, a friend of mine last night said, there's a cost before there's a delivery of something. There's always a cost before something gets given. When a gift is given or delivered, it may not cost you anything, but somebody had to make sure it got to you. Somebody had to pay a price of some sort to get that gift to you. No gift has been given that costs nothing to everybody. Are you tracking with me? A gift, something like freedom in our country, it comes at a price. The gift of salvation came at a price for Christ. Does that make sense? You see, God has given us a gift that cost us nothing because he paid what needed to be paid for us so that we can be able to operate in what we operate in now, right, as sons of God. Christ did that for us. And also, I noted this down. Christ paid the price that we owed for a gift that we could not afford so that we might have the gift and have it in full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You see, a gift always costs somebody something. And I do want to honor our military and our police force and anyone here who has served, because the freedom that we live in our country and the liberties that we have aren't really free, and we know that. So we thank you guys so much for serving. Also, we want to celebrate an awesome thing that has happened this week. How many of you know Brandon and Deanna? They've been expecting. Well, they have a new child now, Kylie. Kylie Smith, do we have pictures of her? Awesome. Look at this. 7 pounds, 7 ounces. Healthy little baby. Yep. There's Kathy with the baby. Awesome. We want to bless them. So if you see them throughout the week or if you see them in the coming weeks, we know, there we go. Oh, so sweet. So you see Thomas and Kathy and Brandon and Deanna, make sure you congratulate them on little Kylie, precious, healthy baby. So let's welcome right now, before they get here, let's welcome our little Kylie to City Gate and to our new family. Awesome. Let's go ahead and dismiss the children's church. They're going with Thomas. Where's Thomas? Thomas, stand up in the back. There they go. Awesome. And Vicky, where's Vicky? Wave your hand. There you are. It's hard that we see you not waving your hand. Don't give me that look. Let's bless our children as they go to minister to the Lord. That was weak. Let's bless our children. Come on. Yes. Awesome. Oh, Apostle Clay this morning is passed the mic to me and said, go ahead and preach. We're going to get to offering in a little bit because I got something I want to talk about in a little bit. So Clay gave me the honor of being able to minister the word this morning, which I want to honor Clay, Apostle Clay and Susan, and the work that they've done in this house and what they've done in the territory and in the region. So can we honor them? Come on, give them a hand. Apostle Clay is ministering this morning at Hope in Brandon, Mississippi, which is right in Jackson. And Clay and Susan and I just spent the entire week in Hazelhurst. Some of you know, if you follow on social media, there's been a revival down there happening. So we did the last 7 days there. We left right after service last week and Chris joined us, wherever Chris is. Chris came last night, and him and I drove in last night, got here at 2 in the morning, and we're cranking it right back up this morning. So we are full of full of fire. There's been some awesome things. I'm telling you guys, the revival was awesome in Hazelhurst. People getting healed, growths falling off. We had a guy who had a growth on his leg that just disappeared. It had to do with some kind of a blood clot of some sort, and it just completely disappeared, pain-free, gone. And we had a lady who had a growth fall off when we were praying for, I think we were praying, a word came forth about breast cancer and a couple different things, or growths or cysts or things like that. And I mean, God was just doing awesome stuff, healing people, delivering people, getting people set free. And we baptized, I don't even know how many last night, probably like 14 or 15 people last night. So they went down into death with Christ and up and just left some things in the water and were delivered. And it was just awesome. So the revival was amazing. We had just an awesome time. What other awesome testimonies do we have? Susan, can you think of any? Man, had some hernias just completely healed, gone. That was like the first night or two. So God is just really touching people down there and doing an awesome thing at the Barn Church. So we had a good time, and we got in, and I'm tired today, but hey, in my weakness, he is strong, right? So one of the things I want to talk about this morning has really been stirring in me for about 3 months. And Apostle Clay has been speaking on, in the last month or 6 weeks or so, he's done a two-part message on, does anyone remember? Coming to faith. Remember, when faith comes to you, that's one thing, but you coming to faith is another thing. Are we remembering a little bit of this? Come on, people in the house. So let me give you an example. Faith coming to you would be you saying something like, I'm going to believe to be debt-free. Or I'm going to believe to whatever you're believing for. You get stirred up and faith comes to you. And all of a sudden you are, ooh, yes, this is going to happen. But how many of you know that in the journey of getting debt free, you have to come to faith? And you have to work that word, as they say, and you have to work that faith, and you have to posture yourself to continue to believe and continue to have faith over that, until you become debt-free, and debt-free is the manifestation of that faith, okay? So faith is the substance of things not seen, right? So the debt-free is something that is not seen yet, is not manifested yet, and as you have faith, faith comes to you that you can be debt-free, you begin to walk that journey of being debt-free. And how many know that that's a very difficult journey, but there's a journey, there's a way to do it. And you begin to put things in your life. Maybe it's a Dave Ramsey type thing, or maybe it's some kind of financial teaching, or you know, something. You're putting strategy in place, and you're stirring up that faith, and you're stirring up that word, and then you're journeying with faith, and then you become debt-free, and then debt-free is the thing that is now seen. It becomes manifest, and that is coming to faith. Does that make sense? So I just summarized in probably 45 seconds what Clay has been talking about. I think he did like a two-part thing on it. He spoke on 1 week, and then it was like a couple weeks, and then he spoke the rest of it. But anyway, I want to continue in that path of faith, because I want to share with you, if I could title what I'm talking about this morning, I would call it Forgiveness by Faith, or Forgiving by Faith. And I know that's not a very popular thing. You might have never heard it. I know that I never heard it until a couple of months ago, when I experienced a very difficult situation in my life and in my family. Someone in my family was very wounded and very hurt, and my entire family was just in this very devastating, traumatic, going through a very traumatic time. Everyone was involved. It was very difficult. And so there was a person who this, which who did this injustice towards someone in my family. And, you know, we had to choose forgiveness. Okay? We had to choose to love this person and to say, you know what, God has a plan for this person and we forgive this person. Does that make sense? A lot of times that journey of forgiving someone takes years, decades. You understand? It shouldn't. I'm not saying that's the journey. I'm saying people live with unforgiveness in their hearts, their whole lives. And I want to show you a video clip that our media team is going to play here in a moment about forgiveness and the effect that it has on our body. You see, forgiveness and the stress and the trauma of unforgiveness affects us on a molecular level. Do you understand this? So we have to, as the body of Christ, it's a biblical principle, but it's even greater. It's a kingdom principle, and it's also a biological principle. So let's roll this video. It's just a minute and a half or so. So check this out.
Did you know that unforgiveness can actually make you sick? It's classified as a disease in medical books. Now, forgiveness therapy is being used to help treat diseases like cancer. Dr. Steven Standiford, a cancer surgeon, says unforgiveness makes people sick and keeps them sick.
It's important to treat emotional wounds or disorders because they really can hinder someone's reactions to the treatments, even someone's willingness to pursue treatment.
Of all cancer patients, 61% have forgiveness issues, and of those, more than half are severe. That's according to research by Dr. Michael Berry, a pastor and the author of the book, The Forgiveness Project.
These negative emotions, this anger and hatred, creates a state of chronic anxiety. Chronic anxiety very predictably produces adrenaline and cortisol, which deplete the production of natural killer cells, which is your body's foot soldier in the fight against cancer. When a person forgives from the heart, which of course is the gold standard that we use in Matthew 18, forgiveness from the heart, we find that they're able to find a sense of peacefulness. Quite often our patients refer to that as a feeling of lightness. Lori, we don't realize what a burden anger and hatred is until we let it go.
And the first step in forgiveness therapy is recognizing forgiveness is not the same thing as condoning what a person did, which is the major hurdle for most patients.
Pretty wild, huh? Pretty wild. So unforgiveness and these emotions like hatred and anger, they affect us on a molecular level. And I didn't really realize all this until the last few months when I just did a lot of studying about it and talking about the trauma of what happened and the tragedy of what happened to our family and having to experience some of this forgiveness. But one of the things that the Lord spoke to me right away, and this is what I want to talk about, is I was wrestling with this idea of forgiving someone. God, I forgive them. How many of you know that using words doesn't always work? You can say, I forgive someone, or you can say, I'm not angry anymore, but you can still walk away angry. You can say, I forgive them, but years later, you can still find yourself battling with that wound of unforgiveness. And so I was dealing with this on a very short-term level. It's like days. And so I'm going to the Lord. I know I need to forgive this person. And I was in Austin, Texas, and I was in my hotel. I was at a conference over there, and I was just having some time with the Lord and worshiping, and the Lord spoke to me and said, if you think you can forgive them on your own, you're crazy. He said, partner with me and let me help you forgive them and start with forgiving them by faith. And so, me being a recovering Baptist, I thought, forgiving by faith is not something that's really taught, and it's not something I ever heard, and it's probably something that a lot of people would kind of you know, look at with a weird look. But I was kind of like, what does that mean, God, to forgive someone by faith? He said, trust me, let me help you forgive them. Why are you trying to forgive them on your own and walk away and think that that can be done? And so he started unfolding this idea of forgiving someone by faith. Everyone say forgiving by faith. All right, so let me unpackage this a little bit as I try to teach this idea of forgiving by faith. So let's first talk about faith. We talked a little bit about forgiveness and unforgiveness and the effect that it has on us, and we all understand what forgiveness is. One of the things that that broadcaster said is she said, forgiveness is not the same as condoning the actions of maybe something that was done in unrighteousness or something that was done in injustice towards someone. Does that make sense to everyone? It's not condoning someone, but it's saying, I forgive you, and eventually you've got to move on with your life, and you can't trap yourself in that prison of unforgiveness. Can you say amen? All right, so let's talk about faith for a moment. I asked my little brother this probably 6 months ago or so. I just was just kind of had this stir up in me. I said, where does faith come from? Where does faith even come from? Does it come from inside of us? Does it come from God? Does God give it to us? Where does faith come from to you? Where does it come from? Ooh, there we go, Michael. Everyone's kind of quiet about it, but Michael said it comes by hearing. Where do we read that? Romans 10:17 says faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Everyone know that one? Have I lost you guys yet? You're quiet today. Everyone do a stretch or something. So if faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God, we know that faith can come from hearing the word of God, right? So I also, this is a very, very, very important thing to note. How much we care about the word of God reveals how much we care about our faith. How much we tend to the word of God and stir up the word of God in our life reveals how much you really even care about your faith. That's a hard word, but it's a good word. It's like a medicine. It might taste bad, but I'm telling you, it'll get you better. The word of God, if faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God, and you're not in the word of God, then you don't really care that much about your faith. But if you get in the word and you hear the word and you go after the word of the Lord in your life, that faith will build you up, or build you up in your most holy faith, as they say. So check this out. I want to talk about when we're talking about faith comes from hearing and hearing comes from the word. I want to talk about this word. Everyone say word. All right. Six people are with me still. Where did I lose you? Everyone say word. Okay, cool. So in the New Testament, there's this word logos, which is word. And there's this word rhema, which is word. Okay. Logos is, let me just define it right here, speaking to a conclusion, word being the expression of a thought, a saying, and in the New Testament, when it says logos, it's usually expressing the thoughts of the Father through the Spirit. So it's usually talking about what Christ said, and so oftentimes logos is the scriptures, the holy scriptures, the God-breathed word, or what Christ has revealed to us. But this word rhema is a little different. Everyone say rhema. Rhema is spoken word by the living voice. Is commonly used in the New Testament. The Lord speaking his dynamic living word in a believer to in-birth faith. So the rhema word of God is the word that comes forth from the living God. Does that make sense? Whereas the logos word is inspired by the Spirit and often referred to what Christ said or what the scriptures tell us. Let me give you an example of logos. So Hebrews 7:12, if you want to write this down, I know I'm giving information, I'm very expository in my teaching. Hebrews 7:12 gives us an example of this word logos. It says, "For the word of God, logos, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So that word is logos, the word of God, the written word of God, the words of Christ are like a two-edged sword. Everyone knows that scripture, right? Right. So let me give you another scripture. 1 John 2:4-5. The word logos is in verse 5. It says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, logos, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him." So it's talking about whoever says, "I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar." And it says, "Whoever keeps his word, logos, in him truly the love of God is perfected." So he's talking about the words of Christ. He's talking about the inspired word of God, the word breathed out by the Spirit. And he's talking about the commandments of God are often linked to the word logos, the words written out, the words breathed out by God. Make sense? Cool. So rhema. Let me give you an example of rhema. Matthew 4:4, it says, this is when Jesus is being tempted by the devil. Everyone remember that story? Jesus being tempted by the devil, and the devil says, "Hey, if these, you know, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Everyone remember this? Jesus responds to the enemy and he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Not logos, but rhema. That's powerful. Every word that comes forth from the living breath of God is what we should feed on, not bread alone. And not just the scriptures, the logos, or the inspired word, but the rhema word of God. Everyone say rhema. Okay, so Jesus is telling us that this word rhema, the living voice, which I love this part of the definition of rhema too. It says living word in a believer to in-birth faith. So this rhema word, now the logos word stirs up faith in us as well, but this rhema word is the voice of the living God. Let me tell you another verse that's rhema. Romans 10:17 that I just quoted to you says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. The rhema word of God, the inspired, the living voice to the believer to in-birth faith. Everyone say rhema. Rhema. So this word, rhema, is to in-birth faith. And if faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the rhema, the living voice of God, the word spoken from God to in-birth faith in the believer, that's where faith comes from. Now, faith, like I said earlier, there's a journey when faith comes to you, like when faith comes to you in salvation. We have salvation by grace through faith, right? So we receive salvation by grace through faith. That's when faith comes to us. But a lot of times, working out your salvation with fear and trembling, you have to come to faith in order to believe to keep going. Oftentimes, faith in the New Testament, if you look it up in like a Strong's or an interlinear of some sort, it says belief, faith, a belief. So faith is oftentimes tied to, and it is, what we believe. So the word can come to us, faith can come to us, which is what Clay's been talking about these last couple of months, is faith can come to you and you can, you know, believe that. But when you are, when faith comes to you about being debt free, like I said earlier, when faith comes to you about being debt free, that's exciting. But when you have to come to faith in the journey of being debt free, that's when you have to work that word, or you have to stretch your faith. Is everyone with me? That's right. When faith comes to you, when you come to faith, she's saying that's when you can see it before it's manifested. So let me give you some other scriptures on faith and believing. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is a big one on faith. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I looked in almost every translation, and they all say the same thing for this little verse. You know, sometimes you know when you're trying to be like a good preacher, you look at other translations and stuff. So I looked at all the translations, and they all said faith, sight, faith, sight. They said we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. And then the New Living Translation, which is really just a paraphrase, it says, for we live by believing, not by seeing. That's what I was looking for. I was looking for not just the word sight, not just the word faith, but I was trying to look for some other words that could trigger something else in us. We live by believing, not by seeing. And this is the scripture that I really was chewing on, and thankful that the Lord opened my eyes to this scripture when I begin this journey of forgiving by faith. Because what the Lord was communicating to me is, he said, if you feel like you can forgive someone on your own, if you feel like you can forgive someone by sight, it's not going to happen. You forgive them by faith. You see, everything we do as a believer is walking by faith and not by sight. And this is why I wanted to take up our offering and our tithes after the message, because everything that we do should be appropriated by faith. We should take our faith and apply it to what we're doing in the physical. That's why baptism is powerful. There's nothing magical about baptism. If you don't release faith when you get baptized, you're going for a swim. If you don't release faith when you sow your tithe, or when you sow an offering, or you sow a gift, you're just giving your money away. So you have to release faith. And a lot of times we'll do it kind of naturally. We understand this principle, you know, some of the tithing and some of the baptism and stuff like that. But when it comes to something like forgiveness, we haven't really been taught to release faith. When you forgive someone, and this is, I think it was a month or so ago, I was leading worship up here, just acoustic, and that's why I told you guys. I said I was going through a hard time with family, and the Lord gave this song to me, and I begin to sing, I forgive by faith, knowing that one day I'll be able to forgive them on my own. You see, when salvation comes to us through faith, when faith comes to us and it's like, oh yeah, we can believe for that, or we can have faith for that, that's a really exciting moment. But a lot of times in the journey and in the process and in the struggles and in the challenges, we have to come to faith, and we have to stir it up inside of us in order to believe, in order to see it, because faith is the substance of things not seen. Are you with me? So we have to stir up that faith inside of us. And even something as simple as forgiving someone should be done by faith. Saying, Lord, especially a very difficult forgiveness, a divorce, or you know, maybe someone's life was taken in your family, an unrighteous or injustice thing was done, and it really causes trauma or tragedy to set in, and it, that unforgiveness becomes heavier and heavier the longer and longer you go not forgiving. And so when you're dealing with something as heavy as that, it's not always easy to just move on. And so the Lord was teaching me about forgiving by faith and saying, God, I can't do this by sight. I can't do this by seeing, because this is very difficult for my mind or my flesh or my soul to forgive this person, but Lord, right now, I choose to forgive them by faith, allowing me to come to faith during this process. And then the Lord was revealing to me, as days go by, as weeks go by, as months go by, your heart will just begin to change because you're appropriating it by faith and not by sight. Does that make sense? And so I was talking to my uncle about this and my dad about this, and they're both ministers, and I said, am I crazy thinking about this, forgiving someone by faith? And, I mean, let's be honest, I knew I wasn't crazy. I was hearing from God, but I was just like, what does this look like in a Methodist background or a Baptist background? And both my uncle and my dad were like, yeah, that makes sense, to forgive someone by faith, to walk by faith and not by sight. Not that I needed that confirmation, but I was curious as to what maybe someone else would view that as. If they would view it as borderline heresy, borderline, you know, in the wrong direction. But it's been really interesting as I've been talking to people about this and unfolding this process, that it really is something that the scriptures reveal to us and not just that rhema word of God that I heard. Does that make sense? So let's talk a little bit more about faith, and I want to move into maybe just allowing you. And as I'm speaking, allow yourself to think of those things in your life that you feel like you have unforgiveness towards, or people that you have unforgiveness towards, or a situation, or maybe you have unforgiveness towards God. Maybe you're mad at God, or maybe you're frustrated, or you're not that you need to forgive God, but you have some kind of emotions that you're dealing with. And even to lay those things down, like anger, and lay down hatred, and lay down those emotions, doing that by faith will help you. Because if we do it by sight and we do it in our own strength, we'll be like a dog and go right back to our vomit. So do it by faith and lay those things down by faith and say, and allow yourself to forgive someone by faith. And I also want to do this when we take up the tithe, is to begin to stir that up in you a little bit more, is to give by faith. What are you believing for? What kind of harvest are you looking for in your life? We'll be taking up first fruits in the next month or so here. We usually do it in October. And so what is that thing that you're believing for that you want to release faith for to see come to pass? For faith is the substance of things not seen. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith to the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith. So even our stubborn flesh, or the bodies that we live in, Galatians 2:20 is telling us that we can live by faith, that we now live by faith. So your salvation and your journey of discipleship and your journey of being by sight, one of the things that Clay says that he teaches, that he writes about in his book, Activating the Prophetic, is there's several ways that God prefers not to speak to you. One of them is circumstances. If you are being dictated by your circumstances, you're not walking by faith, you're walking by sight. And another one that I love that he uses, he says, God prefers not to speak to you through prophets. Everyone always gets quiet on that one. I love it. God wants to speak to you with a rhema word of God, with the living voice in your bones and in your being. He wants to speak to you. God, it doesn't say that God won't speak through prophets. He says he prefers not to. If he needs to, he'll raise up a prophet. But we should be hearing from God, the rhema word of God and the logos word of God. We should be hearing and allowing faith to come to us, and in the journey coming to faith with that word. with that rhema word or that logos word. Does that make sense? So we should be living by faith. I want to say one more thing. In Matthew 14:31, if you want to look it up, I'll say it in a minute. But I want to say this. Your doubt is tied to your faith or your lack thereof. Your doubt is tied to your faith. Watch this. In Matthew 14:31, it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So he's talking about Peter when Peter stepped out, and he said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So your doubt is tied to your faith or your lack of faith. It doesn't mean that if you have doubt that you're outside the will of God, or that if you have doubt, you're really messed up. Because we are flesh and bone, we are soul and spirit, right? So we go through the battles and the challenges and the struggles, but if we're not allowing faith to be stirred up in us about the rhema or the logos, the word of God, then we're siding on doubt. So if our faith is tied to our doubt and how much we care about the scriptures show and reveal how much we care about our own faith, remember me saying that? Then doubt will outweigh your faith when you're outside of the word of God, the rhema word or the logos word. Are you guys tracking with me? Just say yes anyway. Okay, thank you. But say again. I want to make this clear. Your doubt doesn't mean you're a bad son or a bad daughter or a bad Christian or a bad believer or a bad faithful person. But you have to begin to, if you have those doubts in your life and you have those doubts about God's word or you have those doubts about what God is doing, you have to begin to come to faith and stir it up so that you can see ahead. Now, faith, we want to walk by faith and not by sight. So we don't want to be dictated by what's going on around us. And if we're walking by sight, we can't be walking by faith. For this life we now live, we live by faith. Amen? Everybody stand up. I want you to take a moment as we take up tithe and offering. I just want you to take a moment and just really press in to the heart of God and just really press in to just releasing your faith and what that looks like. Yes.
Just to drive this point on a little farther, 99% of people we minister to, there's unforgiveness, and we minister to Christians. So the church has done a really poor job of teaching on one of the most fundamental foundation doctrines of Jesus Christ, which is forgiveness. And so I applaud Matt for bringing this message, and I pray that God gives you even more revelation to preach on it again and again and again and again and again and again and again, because the body is full of unforgiveness that we don't realize we are carrying, because it's been there for so long that we just learned to operate around it because we have pushed it down a long time ago. But it keeps manifesting in a bad way in our lives. And so don't just let this message just go right by you and think, "Oh yeah, I'm good. This is for somebody else." No, really, really, let God soften our hearts enough that He can reveal to us that there's still something there. And it's so easy to forgive and to repent. It's so easy to do when we allow God to do the work.
So let's let God do the work on us for a moment. Just right where you're at, just fix your eyes on God. Just fix your eyes and just kind of give your focus and your attention, your affection to Him. Let's not walk by sight. Let's not walk by seeing. Let's walk by faith. And let's hear from God. For faith comes from hearing. That's why a lot of times we say, well, you got to hear from God. You got to hear from the Lord. It's like sometimes that's frustrating to hear, well, I'm trying to hear from God. Keep trying, because your faith comes from hearing God. And your hearing comes from the word of the Lord, the Rhema word of God. So just take a moment and just let that settle in, because this is a process that I know. I don't just believe this, I know this. It's going to strengthen me in my future. Because as I apply this principle of forgiving by faith and giving by faith and appropriating things in my life by faith, it's going to change everything. So this will begin to change everything moving forward. I believe it. That's why I'm teaching on it. And that's why I'm preaching it. And I'll continue to preach it. And I received that, Susan, about getting more revelation and teaching it and continuing to teach it. Because we need the body of Christ forgiven and walking in forgiveness. So Lord, right now we fix our eyes on you. Our attention, our affections are on you. We want to hear from you, Lord. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing from your living word, your spoken word that inbirths faith to us.
Come in and take over. I surrender all of my life. Come in and take over. Come in and take over. Come in and take over. Surrender all of my life. Come in and take over. Come in and take over. Come in and take over. I surrender all of my life.
Come on, let's sing that together, just for a minute.
Come in and take over. Come in and take over. Come in and take over. I surrender all of my life. Come in and take over. Come in and take over. Come in and take over. I surrender all of my life. Come in and take over.
Yes, Lord.
Come in and take over.
We want to hear your word, Father.
Come in and take over.
We surrender. We lay it down.
Surrender all of my life.
We want to hear from you, Father.
Come in and take over.
We want to take it by faith.
Come in and take over.
Yes.
Come in and take over. I surrender all of my life.
Yeah. So let's go ahead now and prepare an offering. Prepare our tithe to give to the Lord, our first 10%. You can do that. You can go ahead and sit down and come on. We're just being us this morning. Yeah, let's get a couple guys. And so we want to take up our tithes and offering this morning, but we want to go to a new level. I'm not saying double your giving, but if that's what God's saying, then do it. But I'm not saying you need to go to a new level and give more. I'm just saying let's release faith and go to a new level of coming to faith. Amen. So let's prepare our offerings, and you can make checks payable to CityGate and also online for our online audience. There's a giving tab on the top right of our website. You can also give through our app. If you want to give in-house via credit card or debit card, you can do that. Giving on credit, it's kind of a weird idea. But hey, if God's saying it. No, you can give on the offering envelopes with a debit card. And anyway, I think we're all ready. Is everyone ready? Hold up your offering if you're ready. Let's bless the Lord. Lord, we give this morning by faith. We sow this. We give our tithe. We give our offering. We sow this seed. And Lord, take us to new levels of faith and believing you and trusting you. We lift this up to you now with greater measure of faith. Greater measure of believing. For faith is believing. So we believe, Lord. And so we sow this seed with belief, with faith. Come on, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I declare that your offering is blessed, that your seed is blessed, that your tithe is blessed, that you're blessed in the field, that you're blessed in the city, that you're blessed in your lying down and in your getting up. Jobs and better jobs, raises, bonuses, found money, checks in the mail. Come on, we're going to believe for it. Come on, let's get crazy. If we believe this crazy, mighty, all-powerful God, why don't we just put our faith up there too? So Lord, we give this morning with faith. Come on, give, people. Let's take it. I want you to give with expectation. Yes. There was some amazing testimonies that happened this week at the revival in Hazelhurst. We had people giving, and the next day, they gave in such faith, and they gave with such awesome revelation. The next day, people were receiving unexpected income up to four times the amount that they gave. Come on, that's faith. And that's God answering our faith. That's God responding to us sowing in faith and sowing that seed. So there was unexpected money that came in. Actually, this was one of the first couple days of the revival. I'll tell you this testimony, because testimony is powerful. Testimony, right? So we're in this gathering, and we take up an offering one night, and the word goes forth about unexpected money showing up. Checks in the mail showing up, and Brenda Yarbrough gets up, who pastors the Barn Church, who put the tent revival together, and she gets up and she reads a letter she got in the mail the next day. So she stands up the next evening in the revival and she says, "I got a letter in the mail today." She said that she insured the tent. They had this big old permatent, I guess is what it would be. They had this big tent. They had generators out there. They had lights. They had sound system, you know. So she insured the property and everything on like $1 million insurance policy for, you know, whatever it was, like a month that she probably purchased it for. Well, she got a letter in the mail from the insurance, what do you call it? Adjuster? The person who wrote up the insurance policy. Right. And they said, "Brenda, I'm so honored to have written up this policy for you. I really wish I could be there at the tent revival," because I guess it was probably local. Said, "I really wish I could have been there, but I'm on vacation this week with my family," or something like that. And the insurance quoter, adjuster, producer said, "I want to sow into your ministry and give you the commission that I made on this insurance policy." But she got a check in the mail, unexpected income, the next day. Can you say amen? You see, God doesn't do that for Pastor Brenda because she's special. God doesn't do these things for me because I'm an apostle. He does these things for me because I'm his son. You see, God wants to do these things for you because you're a son and you're a daughter. So believe for these things. Why don't you come up here and we'll let you share. You have a testimony? All right, let's hear it.
Hey, everybody. I had to tell it and give God glory. Actually, I had been believing God for some extra income as a home mom. And I just was in prayer and I did a little fasting and was decreeing and declaring, you know, money to come and everything. And my aunt, I think it was around the time my aunt called me and said some kind of money was some insurance money for my grandmother that had on me. You know how you have a policy? She passed away and she told me that she sent it to my mom and then she sent it to me. I got money with that. But something else happened recently. It was so powerful. This guy, I was driving. I didn't get hurt anything. He backed up in my car. He backed up. You know how you drive and you sit there. He backed up in my car. He just dent like the grill, which is not a lot of money. It's like sometimes you can get it for $200. You can get it for like different prices. It wasn't much at all. And it kind of bent this other part when I opened the trunk. The guy said, please. So happened that I knew him from my daughter's old school. And he said, please, I have my insurance for my children, and it's so expensive, I'll take care of it. I told him I wanted to take care of it because I wanted the money so I could, you know, just be able to do how I want to. Because sometimes people with this, you know, they want to give you less money, maybe, you know, at the time for something that may be more, even though I didn't know that how much it really cost until after the fact. And he gave me $900 cash. So that's what happened.
God wants to bless you. Let's hear it.
How many of you have ever gotten a return when you paid your electric bill, or you bought groceries, or you made your rent payment? You don't. But you take the same money and you give it as worship to the Lord. You get a return on it, because when you worship with your money, it's spiritual. When you pay your electric bill, that's carnal. But when your money goes into the house of God, it becomes spiritual. I just had that revelation sitting there. That's powerful. And your money is tied to your heart. I think there's a book somewhere, old book somewhere that says that. And God honors your heart.
That's right. God honors your heart. Yeah, it's so true. When you give money to, you know, a game or a fair or something, you're not getting that back. But God gives you a return. God wants to bless you. God wants to honor you with your money. So continue to release that faith. And just take a moment as you've been listening and worshiping about this forgiveness, now that we've sowed in faith and that we've done this giving in faith. I want you to take a moment in faith to begin to work on some of those things in your heart.